Glory be to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the gospel of Christ Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Many times people are ashamed of telling the good news. They don't want to suffer the consequence of standing for the truth that is unpopular. Hallelujah. You know that what is more popular in the world today is the idea of salvation by works, salvation by merits, salvation by what you do, salvation by your perseverance, salvation by your efforts, salvation by your religiosity, salvation by your spiritual commitment or religious commitment, as the case may be. But Bible truth is salvation is by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation according to scriptures is without works. Hallelujah. In fact, Romans chapter 4 says, to him that does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Romans chapter 4 verse 5. But to him who does not work. So salvation is to him that does not work. And you know what? This offends the religious. This offends the self-righteous. It offends men like the Pharisees. Glory to God. But the gospel is the power of God to save. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 77. And we're still studying metaphors for salvation. Sanctification. Glory to God. Yesterday we saw how sanctification implies that God owns us. We belong to God. This is the metaphor for salvation that shows that we are not just, you know, free to go. We are not just set at liberty to rejoice and enjoy. It shows that in salvation, there's a setting apart to God for use. Hallelujah. We belong to God and we are honed of God for special use. Glory be to God. God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. He has set us apart unto good works. You know, in justification, the man is free from guilt. Propitiation and reconciliation, the man is reconciled to the Father. The man is restored to favor, restored to a favorable relationship, and God is propitiated. Hallelujah. In sanctification, we see a picture of the man being set apart to God in salvation. And the man is set apart to God for use. Glory be to God. For use. And this has been the pattern right from the Old Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 21, right from the Old Testament, everything that was dedicated, consecrated, or set apart to God was for service. Hallelujah. You see, the things in the tabernacle, in the temple, the priest, including the people, everything set apart to God in the Old Testament was set apart for the purpose of service, ministry. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21. Look at this carefully. Hebrews 9, 21. Bible says, then likewise is sprinkled with blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. The vessels of the ministry. So he calls them the vessels of the ministry. Everything that was in the tabernacle were set apart to God for ministry, for use. Of course, the ministry in the Old Testament in the temple had to do with the ceremonial and ceremonial things, the ordinances, the offering of bulls and goats and animals, you know, a shadow of that which is to come in Christ Jesus. So everything that was in the temple was dedicated for that ministry. So in sanctification, what you have is a dedication to the service of God. Hallelujah. A dedication to the service of God. Look at Exodus chapter 28 from verse 41. Exodus 28:41. I said right from the Old Testament, the idea of sanctification has always implied that you are set apart for ministry. That's the purpose. You are set apart, dedicated to the service of God. Exodus 28:41. Glory be to God. Look at this carefully. I'll read from Exodus 28 from verse 41. Bible says, so you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with them. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. Have you seen? The essence of the sanctification was so they would be ministers as priests in the temple. Praise God. So you see that in sanctification, men are dedicated to ministry. Men are set apart for ministry. Praise God. And I cited the example of Samuel yesterday, how that the reason why Samuel was taken to the temple was so he could minister for Eli. Hallelujah. He could minister for and minister with Eli in the temple. And then he grew to a point where he became a prophet. Of course, sad ending for Eli. Samuel had to be a replacement because Eli did not heed the voice of the Lord. Praise God. So, but then you see that the essence was so that he could serve. He wasn't taken to the temple to start sleeping or playing, you know, chess. Hallelujah. He wasn't taken to the temple set apart or dedicated to the Lord so he could start Facebooking and, you know, checking WhatsApp and all that. That was not what he was doing in the temple. He was dedicated to the ministry. Praise God. And so you see that in the Old Testament, the priests conducted themselves with such sense of responsibility, such sense of dedication, such sense of, you know, of being set apart from the common men. Hallelujah. Being set apart from the common men, from the average person. They knew that they had a task to perform. They knew they must minister to the Lord. Hallelujah. They had to minister as priests of the Lord. Glory be to God. They were to minister, and in that, of course, their ministry entailed ministering to people, ministering on behalf of men, standing in gap, interceding. Glory be to God. So you see that in the Old Testament, the idea of sanctification was that men were set apart for a particular work. Glory be to God. And down into the New Testament, it's the same concept. That the man that is set apart is set apart for a work. God never calls us to idleness. Glory be to God. God never calls us to freelance either. God never calls us to just do as we wish or as we like. He calls us to a specific work, a specific task or assignment. Glory be to Jesus. And so the believer must discern this work, and he must set himself apart to it. He must give himself wholeheartedly to it in order to fulfill it. Glory be to God. Look at Numbers chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. Hallelujah. Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. Numbers 3, 12 to 13. Glory be to God. So in sanctification, we are set apart to the work of the Father. Glory to God. Numbers chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. Look at this now. Bible says, of course, so speaking about the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, out that they were redeemed, and then the firstborn of the folks in Egypt were struck dead. Now, this is not the time for you to ask me questions like who actually struck them dead. Let's just read these portions of scriptures. Bible says from verse 12, "Now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and the beast. They shall be mine, and I am the Lord." Hallelujah. Of course, like I said, no, let's get fixated on who struck them. Was it God? Was it an angel? That's not the point of this teaching. The point is, in sanctification, you belong to God. Hallelujah. So it says, in sanctifying the firstborn in Israel, they have become mine. They are mine. But then we see that there's a swap. Rather than taking all the firstborn in Israel, God has chosen a tribe, the Levites. See that the Levites were chosen for the work of ministry. They were chosen to serve in the temple. They were chosen to serve with the high priest Aaron and his children. So being sanctified is for a particular work, a specific assignment. Glory to Jesus. Like I said, God never calls us to idleness. God never sets a man apart just for the sake of setting him apart. No, he sets men apart for the sake of the work, for the sake of his specific assignment and ministry. Glory be to God. And then if you come to the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, you see the same thing is said about Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Glory to God. Bible says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Have you seen? I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. And the setting apart is not just for the fun of it or for the sake of it. It is for a specific assignment. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. In sanctification, in the sanctification of Jeremiah, he became a prophet to the nations. He was set apart, he was commissioned to be a prophet to the nations. Just like in the sanctification of the Levites, they became priests unto the Lord. In the sanctification of Aaron and his children, they became, you know, high priest and then priest to minister to the Lord. Glory be to God. Verse 6, it says, then said I, Ah, Lord God, because behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So, in sanctification, the man is set apart for a specific work, and it is clear that God enables the man. God enables him. God gives him the ability to perform the task. Glory be to God. That's why when Jeremiah was complaining about his own incompetence, based on his own frailties, hallelujah, God said to him, no, don't be afraid. Go, I have sent you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to deliver you. Go and speak. Don't be afraid of anybody. Speak the things I command you to say. Because in the sanctification, you are equipped for the work. Hallelujah. That's the same thing we have, you know, said concerning us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God ordained before time that we should walk in them. The idea of workmanship is a vessel that is crafted for a particular work. Hallelujah. A vessel that is fitted, that is built for a particular work. We are God's handiwork. Hallelujah. We are God's masterpiece, designed for good works. We are enabled to do good. We are enabled to do the work of ministry. Glory be to God. We see in the life of Jesus a remarkable example of someone who understood sanctification. Somebody who understood the fact that he had been set apart for a specific work, an assignment. Jesus gave himself over to the work of the Father. Imagine that at age 12, Jesus was found in the temple discussing and asking questions and, you know, giving answers from the Bible, discussing with the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees in the temple. And then he was missing in the company of his parents, his earthly parents. And then those ones were bothered and, you know, perturbed. They came back looking for him. They got in the temple. They found him and they were like, ah, why did you, you know, get us worried? Guess what Jesus said? Don't you know I ought to be busy about my Father's business? He was just 12 years old. Hallelujah. He was just 12 years old. But he had understood the fact that he didn't come to this world to be a carpenter's son and then to be seen as, you know, a major supplier of wood or whatever in those days, or a major supplier of furniture in those. He knew that there was more to his life than doing the, you know, doing the work of carpentry. He knew there was more to his life than enjoying the pleasures of life like every other person. He knew. Hallelujah. He says, don't you know I ought to be about my Father's business? Glory to God. And then, of course, the Bible says he followed them from that point in time and he submitted himself to his parents. He submitted himself to his parents. Hallelujah. But then we see a desire, a burning desire, a zeal, a passion that was consuming him right from that tender age. He had discovered his purpose. Because I am called of God, I'm set apart unto God, I have a mission, I have an assignment to fulfill, I must be about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then that's the same sense in the which he approached the work when he eventually began the ministry. Jesus was sold out to the work. Hallelujah. He was sold out to the work. There was virtually no day that Jesus was not found preaching. There was virtually no day that Jesus was not found doing the work of ministry. There was virtually no day that Jesus was not making contacts with men for the sake of, you know, exposing them to the truth of the gospel. He was sold out to the task. Praise God. Look at John chapter 4. I've shown you this story before, but let's see it again. This story captures the degree of Jesus' consecration to the work that God had given him, that the Father had sent him to fulfill and to accomplish. John chapter 4, from verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Bible says Jesus was wearied from his journey. He was tired. He was famished. Guess what? The disciples actually went away to get him food because the master was wearied. He was tired. He was famished. He needed rest. He needed to refresh himself. And then a woman of Samaria approached the well to draw water. Immediately, Jesus began ministry. This is somebody that was coming from a journey. He was tired. He was wearing his body. He was looking for a place to rest. And then he sights a woman coming to fetch water. And then he seizes that opportunity to begin to tell her about the gift of God. Amazing. 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 This is a classic example of commitment to the work to which, you know, God has called us. Hallelujah. Commitment, devotion, beyond what you feel in your body. Do you know that at that point in time, tiredness could have been a very good excuse? Tiredness. I'm tired in my body. I mean, can't you see I'm hungry? Father, I know you called me, but I cannot kill myself now. You know, that could have been a good excuse. Legitimate. But Jesus seized the opportunity. He overlooked his tiredness. He didn't bother about his tiredness anymore. It was about seeking his soul to save. Hallelujah. Immediately, Jesus began to communicate the gospel. Give me a drink of water. Are you aware that Jesus eventually did not drink that water? Eventually did not, you know, take water from that well. Eventually did not drink water. It was not about the water. It was just about communicating the gospel to that woman in a way she could understand. Hallelujah. Give me water to drink. Say, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Oh. And then, by and by, they continued discussing. Well, this water you are fetching, if you drink, you'll be thirsty again. You'll come back again. I have water to give you that if you drink it, you'll never thirst again. The woman was curious. Give me this water so I won't come back here again. Hallelujah. Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you a living water. He would have given you living water. Hallelujah. The human is puzzled. Are you greater than our father? Are you greater than those who dig this well? Hallelujah. Are you greater than all of them? Are you really greater? Jesus says, well, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Glory to God. The woman was shocked. Give me this water so I won't have to come back here again to draw. And in that moment, Jesus gave a word of knowledge concerning her condition. You've had, you know, go call your husband. The woman says, I don't have any husband. He says, yeah, well, you have rightly said, you have no husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the one whom you are now with is also not your husband. You have spoken truly. The woman says, wow, you must be a prophet. You know, by and by, Jesus began to engage the woman. Jesus began to make impression upon the heart of the woman. Such a great impression that the woman ran into the village or into the city and began to tell everybody about Jesus. Hallelujah. Began to tell everybody about Jesus. And that opened a door for ministry in Samaria. Jesus went there and spoke the word of God to them. It got to a point they said to the woman, they said, see, now we believe not because of the things you said, but because we have heard him for ourselves. Hallelujah. We have heard him for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. John chapter 4, verse 42. Glory be to God. But you know, this was the Jesus that was tired, weary in his body, that was famished, that was hungry, that was thirsty. He had forgotten all that, and he was doing ministry. That is consecration. That is giving yourself over to the work in spite of your condition. In spite of what you feel and what you are going through. That's knowing that the purpose of God for your life supersedes your situations and circumstances. Hallelujah. It supersedes your current situations and circumstances. That's knowing that you must fulfill the ministry at all costs. Hallelujah. That's an understanding of consecration. That I have been set apart to the work of ministry and I must be about it. Deliberately and intentionally. Look at the conversation that ensued between himself and his disciples. Glory to Jesus. Verse 27 of John chapter 4. Bible says, and at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked to the woman, yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. Imagine such level of consecration. My food, you guys are not getting the point. What gives me satisfaction, what gives me the ultimate delight and fulfillment and satisfaction in this life is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. In other words, you know what Jesus is saying? My food can wait. My natural food, my natural sustenance can wait. The work of ministry cannot wait. Hallelujah. As long as there's a soul to save, food can wait. Glory be to God. He was hungry. By this I have not said don't eat. But you see,
there's priority.
Glory be to God.
There's priority.
At that point in time, Jesus was not distracted by his own needs. He saw an opportunity, an avenue to reach out to somebody, and this opened door to a whole city.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah. That's a man that understands consecration. Because we know that our being set apart is not being set apart for the sake of it or for idleness. We are set apart to the work of ministry. At John chapter 10, Jesus speaks of himself as one whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world. So like I told you, anywhere you see the word sanctified, it connotes being set apart for a particular work. John chapter 10, glory to God, you are being set apart for a particular work. The believer that is not focused on doing the work of God, doing the work of ministry, is yet to discern his sanctification, is yet to walk, is yet to begin his work in sanctification. As you begin to get full of the Spirit, as you begin to get filled with the Spirit, as you begin to walk in the Spirit, your inclinations on a daily basis will be towards doing the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Unless you are subject to false teaching. It's only false teaching that will make a man attempt to be using the Holy Ghost for personal gain, to the neglect of doing the work of ministry. The more a man is full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, the more he's inclined to doing the work of ministry. Why? Because that is what the heart of the Father is beating for. So the Holy Ghost will not infuse you with a different desire or passion apart from the passion and the desire of the Father. The Holy Ghost will incline your heart to souls. Hallelujah. Ministry. Serving the Lord. Glory be to God. John chapter 10. Look at this now. John chapter 10. I'll read from verse 36. Bible says, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. So Jesus recognized himself as the one whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world. And Jesus knew that he came into the world for a particular purpose, a specific task and assignment. So in sanctification, there's work to be done. In sanctification, there's a ministry to be fulfilled. The man that is set apart by God is set apart to a work to be done, and he must be busy about it. Praise God. He must be busy about that work. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Acts of Apostles 13, 1 to 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. What were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord and they were fasting. Now as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul to me for the work to which I have called them. Have you seen that? In that separation, they were called to a work. Praise God. Every believer has received the ministry, and there are three aspects of ministry. Glory to Jesus. Three aspects of ministry. This is an aspect. Acts 13, Bible says, they ministered to the Lord. The minister to the Lord. Now there's ministry to the body of Christ, which is ministry to one another. Now there's ministry to the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks of the ministry of reconciliation, which we have all received. The ministering unto the Lord has to do with the offering of the fruit of our lips, in the which we minister to the Lord through praise. Hallelujah. Continually, Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer up to God the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It is called ministry to God. Hallelujah. There is ministry to the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We minister to ourselves in spiritual gifts. We also minister to ourselves, by walking in love toward another, meeting our needs. Bible refers to the giving to the saints, sharing with the saints as ministry. Glory be to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It is called ministry. Hallelujah. So we minister to the body by meeting our spiritual needs and our material needs. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, Bible says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Hallelujah. The ministry of the saints. What is this ministry of the saints? Verse 16, that he also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. It was about their giving, their offering. Hallelujah. Their giving. Even at 2 Corinthians, look at this now. 2 Corinthians, glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at this. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Bible says, now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, For I know your willingness about which I boast of you to Macedonians, to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. So you see that what he calls the ministering to the saints at verse 1 of chapter 9 is giving, hallelujah, sharing with fellow saints, meeting the material needs of other saints. Praise God. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you are always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, look at verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but it also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. Hallelujah. So he calls it the ministry. Hallelujah. He calls it ministry. Ministry. Giving to other saints is referred to as ministry. Glory be to God. Paul the apostle restates this at Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 25. Romans 15, 25. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. To minister to the saints. And what is this ministry? Verse 26. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. Are you aware that this was the collection he was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? It pleased those in Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in what? In material things. To minister to them in material things. Glory be to God. So our love work of sharing with one another is also referred to as the ministry. Hallelujah. It's called ministry. Service. Glory to Jesus. So you see at verse 30, Bible says, Paul says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. My service, which is the same thing as ministry. Glory be to God. So we have ministry to God in the which we minister to God, giving him the fruit of our lips. We have ministry to the saints in the which we minister to ourselves in spiritual gifts and in communicating our substance. Hallelujah. We minister through spiritual gifts and through material things. Glory be to God. That's our love walk. Hallelujah. That's our love walk. Hallelujah. At 1 John chapter 3 verse 18, Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Glory be to God. So we minister to ourselves through spiritual gifts, and we also minister, of course, through spiritual gifts, and then preaching the word of God to ourselves, exhorting one another, and then through meeting our material needs. Glory be to God. Through meeting our material needs. Then we have the ministry of reconciliation to the world, in the which we are preaching the gospel to the lost, and we are getting them reconciled to the Father. Glory be to God. So every believer has received the ministry. The apostle Paul and Barnabas at this point in time at Acts 13, 1-2, 1-3, they were set apart for an apostolic mission. An apostolic mission in the which they were meant to go everywhere as apostles to the Gentiles, and then of course they were also reaching the Jews. As apostles, they were set apart for the work. So you see that every time there's a setting apart, every time there's sanctification, it's a call to work, it's a call to duty. Glory be to Jesus. And the man that is sanctified must understand this, so as to give himself to that work qualitatively. Glory be to God. Qualitatively. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you this morning to do a self-check or a self-appraisal of yourself, of your work. Hallelujah. When last did you commit so extensively? When last did you commit so passionately to the ministry you have received? When last did you give yourself to ministering to the Lord? When last did you do it wholeheartedly? Is it a daily lifestyle? Remember, Bible says to continually offer up to God the sacrifice of praise, giving him the fruit of our lips, is meant to be a daily affair. You don't wait till Sundays. Hallelujah. You don't wait till midweek services. It's a daily lifestyle. It's meant to be a part and parcel of your daily activities. Glory be to God. When last did you minister to a fellow believer? When last did you spur and stir up somebody unto good works? When last did you exhort a believer? When last did you reach out to a fellow believer in love? When last did you minister spiritual things to a fellow believer? When last did you, by word of knowledge or by word of wisdom, give direction to somebody? When last did you minister healing to a fellow believer? When last did you walk in the gift of the Spirit toward another believer? When last did you minister to the material needs of other saints? Hallelujah. When last did you meet a need? When last did you share of your substance? Glory to Jesus. Or it's just about you. You say it's not even enough for me. You cannot understand. It's not even enough, and then everything is budgeted. When last, you know, you're already living in selfishness and in greed if you don't learn to share of what you have. Glory be to God. The Macedonians were poor. Bible says they were in deep poverty. Yet they were begging to be a part of those who minister to the saints at Jerusalem. Glory be to God. So it's not about how much you have. It's about a willingness to give, a willingness to meet a need, a willingness to be used of God to minister to the needs of others. Glory be to God. When last did you do this? When last did you reach out to unbelievers with the gospel of Christ? When last? When last did you lead a soul to Christ? You know, these are things you must run a check on a daily basis, to examine yourself on a daily basis to be sure that you are running as you ought to run. Hallelujah. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Take these things to heart. Brood on them. Ponder on them. Evaluate yourself and make adjustments where necessary. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Do get to tune in. Same time, 7 a.m. Invite your friends, family members, relatives, colleagues, classmates, school, anybody at all. Share on your social media handles, and let's come together again to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of spiritual songs, full of the Spirit, full of prayers, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.